Well, if you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to Romans chapter 8 this morning? Romans chapter 8. And we've dealt with a part of this text, but it's so good that we will linger there just for a moment. But Romans chapter 8, we're going to begin in verse 14. I want to speak to you today about being saved without a doubt. And, you know, there's some folks would say, well, I know I'm saved because I invited Jesus to be my Savior. I received Him as my Savior when I was 10 or 12 or, in my case, 19 years old. And, but you know what? That's not the greatest testimony and witness to the fact of your salvation. There's a greater one. Now, it's important to have a testimony. Okay? It's important to be able to go back and say, you know, it was at this point that God began to work on my heart and deal with me, convict me, and show me I needed Christ. And this is when I received Him. And you may remember the date. You may not. But hopefully you have a time that you go back to and you can say, you know, I know that was the moment when God really met me where I was and touched my heart. And now I can see how my life has changed because of what God's done. Well, there's an important part of our testimony that can only come through the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at that this morning. So Romans chapter 8 and beginning in verse 14. And if you're able, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's holy word? Romans 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself, or better, Himself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank You for the Word of God. Lord, speak to our hearts today through it and draw us closer, nearer to Yourself, we ask. We thank You for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, when we think about this, you know, your identity is very important. We got a lot of stuff about that today with identity theft and people stealing your identity. Well, you and I have a spiritual identity. And we need to be crystal clear on who we are in Christ. All right? And so, now, Brother Ronnie made a statement in revival, and let me just qualify something here. And I'm not going to contradict Brother Ronnie, but I'm just going to suggest something. He made the statement that the devil will never tell you that you're lost. Well, let me just say to you, if you're lost, the devil will never tell you that you're lost. He won't. He will lie to you. He will deceive you. He will tell you, oh, you're fine, you're okay, everything's good. But now if you're genuinely saved, if you've been born again and you're a child of God, then yes, the devil might lie to you and try to deceive you and say, oh, you're not really saved. Now, you see, there's a, you know, just a subtle little thing there. But what we need to grasp is that we need to know if we're saved. And you can know. I've met people who say things like, well, you can't know. You can't know you're saved until you get there. Yeah, my name is Hobbs. Is there a reservation for me, please? I sure hope so, Lord. No, that's not the Bible's portrayal and how the Bible presents salvation. You can know that you're saved. And it, And honestly, it isn't anything about you or me. It's what we see in this text right here. Let's look together. The first thing that we notice here is that Paul says, and we've looked at this a little bit already, but he says, "We, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So here's the first distinctive of a child of God. And you can claim anything you want. You can say anything. But here's the truth. The presence of the Holy Spirit in your life is absolutely required if you are a child of God. We saw that back in verse 9. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. He's not of His. So if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. No doubt about that. Well, if you have the Holy Spirit, He is going to lead you. And so my question for you this morning is, are you led by the Holy Spirit? You know, Jesus said, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." He doesn't drive us out. He doesn't get behind us and force us. He leads us. And He leads us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you being led by the power of the Holy Spirit? You see, that's a very different way of looking at this question of, am I saved? Are you led by the Spirit? Because if you're not led by the Spirit, then there's a good indication that you're not a Christian. Either you're not a Christian, or you have disobeyed God and you've turned away from the Lord so much that you're no longer even hearing His voice speak to you. Well, so when we think then about this being led of the Spirit, you know, this is basically means that we're going to be led by the Holy Spirit in our thoughts, in our behavioral patterns and the things we do, in our lifestyle. And sometimes you'll meet people and they'll say things that, well, I do this, or I'm, you know, and it's totally opposite to the Word of God and to the Christian life. And while we're not their judge, what we need to realize is that the fruit of our life is gonna testify. Okay? You don't have to open your mouth. The fruit of your life testifies every single day about who you are. And sometimes we might wish that it wouldn't. I want to encourage you this morning that there is a matter of being yielded to the Spirit and being led by the Spirit. And what that's going to do is that's going to give you assurance of salvation. Some of you have struggled with that. How do I know I'm saved? Well, here's one good way that you can know you're saved. You're led by the Spirit. You say, well, does that mean like, you know, the Bible says that Jesus was led of the Holy Spirit to go into the wilderness. And there He was tempted of the devil for 40 days. Well, yeah, He was led of the Spirit. And we're going to be led of the Spirit. The Spirit is going to lead us to some things that we wouldn't come to on our own. I mean, there's some things that you would not do, but the Spirit of God within you says, do it. The Spirit of God within you says, go here, do this, say this, speak to this person, meet this need. Do this work. And the Spirit of God is also going to say, don't do this. The Spirit of God is going to say, here's the way, walk in it. The Spirit of God is going to lead you and guide you and direct you. And that's one of the ways that we can have assurance of salvation. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 24 gives us this thought. John writes, he says, "And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us." And so that's one of these great mysteries of life is, well, how do you describe the Holy Spirit? How do you describe and tell what that feels like and what that is like when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you? Well, I think the biggest part of it is that it's a still, small voice. You know, it's not in some great big thing. It's not when the preacher's yelling at you, necessarily. It could be. But more, it's just that inner, that still, small voice. When you're yielded to the Holy Spirit, when you're listening, when you're saying, "Lord, speak, I want to hear." And I think we make a mistake. We feel like, well, God speaks to preachers and missionaries and special Christians. God speaks to every one of His children. You know, maybe you're one of those middle children. Do we have any of those here? I know we've got one. Yeah, we got a few. What's the middle child's claim to fame? They're neglected. They're forgotten. They're not first and they're not last. They're just stuck in the middle. And what do you do? Well, here's the good news. God has no middle children. God loves us all the same. God speaks to us all. He doesn't distinguish any of that stuff. And so, He guides us into an assurance of salvation. You can know that you're saved. And He guides us into the truth, into understanding. He guides us into holiness and into right living. But then notice verse 15. He says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear." Now, I want you to look at a verse with me. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. Hebrews 2 and in verse 14. He says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same," that is, the Lord Jesus, "that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death," that is, the devil, "and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Because here's the bottom line. Today, if you're here and you don't know Christ, you're not a saved person, you're lost. But the Bible says that you are in bondage and that the enemy of your soul has you in bondage. And he wants to keep you there. But the Bible also says that Jesus came to destroy the works of Satan. Jesus came to set us free. And so Paul writes to us here in verse 15, back in Romans 8, and he says, "You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear." All our lives we've lived in fear of death. We've lived in fear of judgment. I remember as a young person, I remember my sister, I didn't even see it, but my sister went and watched one of those scary end time movies, you know, The Rapture. And so she comes home and she's telling me all about it. My eyes are like, you know, and I'm scared to death. You know, and then there comes a day when, you know, I walk into the kitchen and no one's there. And I go to the bedroom and no one's there. And I go everywhere I go and there's no one. And I'm like, the rapture just happened. I missed it. Scared to death. Well, you know, here's the thing that we need to be aware of. We need to be reminded of. It is that we have lived in fear, but we don't have to live in fear. And 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Well, so, there's a beautiful picture in the Bible in the story of the great flood. You remember the story of the flood and how that God sent this flood that flooded the whole world. But God had Noah build an ark. And this ark was enormous. Over 500 feet long, some people say. 3 stories high. Carried the equivalent of 522 railroad cars in terms of storage space. I mean, it's huge. And into that ark, God invited Noah and his wife and Noah's 3 sons and their wives. And there were 8 people who got on that ark. 8 people. But the Bible says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. The Bible says that Noah proclaimed the truth and people didn't respond. People didn't listen. And the picture was disturbingly like what we see today in a lot of ways. That people are just turned from God. They're pursuing what they want, what they think, what they desire. But there's that ark. And I'm going to tell you, that ark is a beautiful picture of our salvation. A boat. Getting saved is like getting in a boat. Well, in this case. Because here's what happens. When the rain started to fall, and God opened up these flood waters and just water began to pour into the earth. Before that happened, actually, God said to Noah, come into the ark. He didn't say, go into the ark. If I say, Shannon, come into this room. What does that mean in terms of where I'm at? I'm in the room. I'm inviting him to come into the room with me. God was in the ark. And he says to Noah, come into the ark. And Noah came walking out. Here's the interesting thing. There was only one door on this ark. I mean, it was a massive boat. Huge. But there was one way in. Only one. And God said to Noah, come into the... And they came into the ark. And then you know what the Bible says that God did? God shut the door. And folks, I'm going to tell you, that is a powerful picture of what happens when God saves our soul. He invites us to come to Himself. He invites us to come. And when we do, we come through the one door, that is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall go in and out and find pasture. He shall be saved. But oh, look, there's one way in. And when we get in, guess what? God shuts the door. That's why you can't lose it. That's why you can't lose your salvation. I mean, if it were possible, I would have already lost mine. Now, I won't take time there. But, boy, we need to understand that we're saved. And salvation means something. And one of the things we're saved from is fear. Living in fear. You don't have to live in fear. Now, there is a godly fear that is a fear of God. But you don't have to live with fear of death, fear of all this that we see. Well, so let's keep moving. You've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but here's what you have received. You've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So let's think about this. You know, the Roman... And Paul was writing to the Romans, so he well understood the Roman concept of adoption. You know, a Roman father might look at his son and say, oh, my son is, he's not worthy of my estate. There were actually Roman fathers who went out and adopted, chose some young man to be his heir and adopted him into the family. And over his own children, even. Well, but when the Romans adopted someone, here's what happens. First of all, there was a severing of all legal and social ties of that child who was being adopted with his former family. It was completely cut off. All right? And then, secondly, he was adopted. He was received into this new family. He was chosen for this. It was a privilege. It was an honor. But then all of his debts and all of his obligations and everything that might have followed him into this family were eradicated. They were completely taken away. And folks, that's exactly what God does when He saves us. He calls us to Himself. He chooses us. You say, how does God do that? I don't know. But it's just His goodness and His grace. And He does it. And He speaks to our heart and He calls us to Himself. And He cuts off our former ties to all the old life. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so we're a brand new creature in Christ. We've been adopted now into the family of God. We're a part of His family. And one of the unique parts of Roman adoption was that child became really one with his father. He was so united with that family and with that father. He became equal. He became one. And that's why we see that we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Folks, when you get saved, it means something. Well, how are you going to know you're saved? Well, you're going to know you're saved because the Spirit of God is going to lead you. But then also, you're going to know it because you're going to sense that you've been adopted into the family of God. You've been made a part of this. And Paul says the end of that is that we cry out, Abba. All right? Abba. Everybody say Abba with me. Abba. Abba is the name for Father, but it's an intimate term. It's very like what we would use Daddy. Or maybe Papa. It's an intimate term. It's not a formal Father. Could I borrow $20 and the car keys, please? No, it's Daddy. Daddy. Yeah, you're getting the idea now. Okay. It's a very intimate term. Now, you see, for some of us, that's going to be uncomfortable. We're going to say, how do I have that kind of intimacy with my Heavenly Father? Well, it's because He has chosen to adopt you into His family. You're not on the outside. You are a part of His family. He has called you, brought you in. And He's brought you all the way in. He doesn't have you out here on the wing waiting to see, I'm going to watch Maggie for a little while and then maybe, you know, we'll bring her on in the rest of the way. No. God brings you all the way in and He pours everything He has into you. And so what a privilege and what a blessing that is. And as a result of that, we can cry out to Him, Abba. And I want to encourage you this week. I mean, today, this week, sometime, I want to encourage you in your own quiet, personal time with God. I want to encourage you to come before Him with this verse in mind or maybe in front of you. Open your Bible and just read that verse and then call Him Abba, Daddy, Dad. Call Him because that's what we're invited to do. Well, one more thought here. Verse 16 says, the Spirit itself, and it really should be translated Himself because the Holy Spirit is a person, not a force or some kind of entity that's non-personal. He is a person. So the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Well, here's the neat part of this. When you get saved, suddenly your whole life begins to change. Not everything changes immediately, but some things do. But one of the things that will happen is that suddenly you will enjoy things like church. Really? I'm serious. Some of you should try it. It would help you a lot. And it helped me. So I'm just saying. You begin to enjoy being around God's people. You know, one of the things that happens when we get saved, and it's partly a good thing, but it's also a little troubling in a way. But when you get saved, one of the things that happens is that typically you lose some friends. Because you no longer want to do. I remember one of my friends, Kevin, and I'd gotten saved, and man, Kevin and I, we'd gone to bars together, and you know, this was when we were 16, 17, and he was 2 years younger than I was, so you know, it was. But his brother played in the band, and so we could get in, you know, we'd go to bars together because we loved music, and we would hang out and do stuff together. And one day Kevin came by. I was working, and Kevin came by to see me. Man, I didn't know how to tell him. I didn't know how to say, Kevin, my life has changed. I've given my heart to Christ, and I'm different. I don't want to do that stuff anymore. And he wanted me to go out with him somewhere, and I just, man, I can't. And I had one of those little pins I was wearing on my jacket that said Jesus first. And all I knew to do was just to point to that little pin and say, man, I can't do it anymore. And here's the sad part of that, is that I completely lost touch with Kevin. And, you know, he was a dear friend. And he was crazy, but he was a dear friend. And very gifted. What's that?
Did you get mad at
him? Probably felt a little bit hurt. Probably felt rejected. And I didn't intend to give that. I didn't intend to say that kind of thing. But I think that's probably the impression I gave him. But, you know, about, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago. Yeah, it would have been about 6 years ago. I was reading the newspaper one day. And I happened to glance through the obituaries. Kevin Owen, 47 years old. Man, I just thought, oh, Kevin. I mean, this is the guy, James, that got kicked out of church camp. He'd been around it. He had to have heard it, but I don't know that he ever received it. I pray that he did. I hope so much when I get to heaven that Kevin's there. I hope he is. But I don't know that. And I feel so bad because maybe I could have kept that relationship somehow, even though it couldn't stay the same. You know, that's important. You know, when you get saved, some of those relationships need to change. There's some things that need to happen. You need to drop some things, and that's okay. Well, when the Spirit comes into your life, He's going to bear witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. You say, how do I know I'm saved? It's because the Holy Spirit of God is going to tell you, yes, you're one of mine. He's going to lead you. He's going to help you to know and to sense and to feel. There was a British pastor back in the 19th century. Billy Bray was his name. And he was saved. He was saved out of a drunken, just debauched life. He lived a really rough life. But he got to reading John Bunyan, who wrote Pilgrim's Progress and other works. And he was just saved. He was just transformed. And here was his testimony. He said, I can't help praising the Lord. As I go along the street, I lift up one foot and it seems to say, glory. And I lift up the other and it seems to say, amen. And so they keep on like that all the time I'm walking. You see, if you're a child of God, the Spirit of God is going to bear witness with your spirit. You're going to sense in your heart, you're going to know. You've been saved from that terrible fate. You've been set free from condemnation. That's why Paul says in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You have been saved from something. And you've been saved to something. And I want to encourage you this morning to make sure of where you stand. It's not my job to tell you, oh, you're saved, you're fine, you're all right. Neither is it my job to tell you, oh, you're lost. I mean, God may reveal things to us sometimes about folks because the fruit of their life just screams, lost, lost, lost. But don't miss this. You can be a professing Christian. You can claim to know Christ. But if the Holy Spirit of God is not present in you, you cannot be led of the Spirit. You cannot have that Abba Father relationship with God. And you cannot have the witness of the Holy Spirit to your spirit saying, "Yes, you are my child." But instead, the Spirit of God will convict your heart. And He will show you your sin. He will show you the need for righteousness. And He will show you that there is a coming judgment. And I want to encourage you today, if you don't have that question settled in your life, it is the most important question of all. And you can live to be 125. But if you don't have that relationship that comes when you're born again by the Spirit of God, you've lost your opportunity. Let's bow our heads. Thankful this morning because we don't have to go through life wondering and doubting and being afraid and fearful that we're not going to get to heaven. You can have an assurance. It's not based on anything that you or I do. It's based on what the Spirit of God does in you. I want to invite you this morning. If you're not certain of your salvation, if you need to settle that today, I want to invite you right now, in the quietness and stillness of this moment, would you call out to the Lord? If you want to be saved, if you want Christ to forgive you of your sins and you're willing to open up your heart to Him, and I don't mean just crack the door. I mean if you're willing to open, throw it open wide and say, "Lord, come in, change me, save me, forgive me." The Bible says He will do it. I want to invite you in this moment. Would you cry out to Him? There's no certain prayer you pray, but you can express your need and your heart in this moment by just saying a simple prayer, something like this: "Dear Lord, I know I'm lost." Or at least, "Lord, I'm not sure. And that scares me. And I want to be sure. So, Father, I come to You today to ask that You would save me. Lord, come into my life. Change me. I receive You, Jesus. And I trust You today. Save me, dear Lord. I believe You died on that cross for me. I believe You rose from that grave. And today, by faith, I trust You, Jesus, to save my soul." Tell Him. Just tell Him what's on your heart. And as the Spirit of God just works in you, understand that it can't be 20%. It can't be halfway. Give Him your all. And if you prayed that prayer and you invited Jesus Christ into your heart, then I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet and come right down here with me and confess Him boldly. Father, I pray for every person in this room, but I pray especially for that one who just now cried out to You. Or perhaps they've lived with doubt or fear. Perhaps they've lived with the certainty of their lostness. God, I pray that You would give them grace. Give them strength. Give them courage and faith, Lord, now to step out and to be strong for You and let others know what You've done in their heart. And Father, I pray for Christians in this room. I pray You'll work in their hearts and draw them to Christ. Lord, help them to be led by Your Spirit. Help them to be in that Abba relationship with You. Lord, help them to to have that witness within their spirit that they are your children. And Father, I pray that you would pour out yourself in this moment. I pray for those who've been saved but haven't yet been baptized and haven't followed you. I pray you give them grace to say, yes, I want to confess Christ openly. Father, whatever our need is today, would you draw us to yourself.